have a question for Domati Pongo, if he's still available. Domati, are you answering questions today?
I am answering questions.
I've always wondered. Now, I just turned 30 years old in November, so for 30 years I've been wondering.
These are like two lies right in a row. You're 30 and you have a son named Jeremy.
How do people who deliver the news decide, like, at random? Like, I understand when giving temperatures, you'd mention the city, and I guess O'Hare, I guess. I don't know why, but O'Hare
and
is
in
Midway, right. But, like, you just said Lake Bluff, and you gave the temperature of Lake Bluff. So how does somebody in the news business decide at random, today I'm going to pick Rolling Meadows? Today I'm going to pick, like, how does that happen?
Do you want, like, an intellectual answer or the truth?
Go with the truth.
Yeah, wherever my mouse lands is where.
Is that how you do it?
That's really the truth.
All right.
We have a list here with all of the temperatures, and there's a list of temperatures in every place. And wherever my mouse lands, that's what we're going with.
I'm
going
to start a new podcast called Wherever My Mouse Lands, and it lands, that'll be the topic.
I love that idea. Because sometimes, like, my in-laws live in Morris, or did live in Morris, and some of my relatives still do. My wife's family lives in Morris, and it's a very, very small rural community. But a lot of times on the news, they'll tell you what the temperature is in Morris, and Morris doesn't have a whole lot of people living there. So I go, well, that's odd. And then, like I just said, with Lake Worth, so it's so random.
Lake Worth?
Yeah.
Or Lake Bluff.
Lake Bluff,
I don't know where neither lake is, actually.
No.
Yeah.
Lake Bluff is north, right?
Yeah, and Lake Worth doesn't exist. I just made up my own town.
Like
the three lies in a 5-minute
span. I'm going to try to break my own record. All right, well, thank you.
But now, see, I enjoy when that happens because
it brings everybody in.
Well,
right?
Also, if you live near Lake Bluff, then you're going, oh, it's a little colder here.
Yeah, but for all the people who don't live near Lake Bluff, do they look at that as a waste of their time? Do they go, oh, wow,
no,
I'm not going to Lake Bluff?
It's always Midway, O'Hare. Usually it's the lakefront. And then
right. A
lot of the news people throw in another one. So I'm going to go, I'm closer to Midway, so
right.
I will go with that temperature.
But can I tell you why and I'm certainly not blaming you, Domati. You're the last guy. I'm not. But
I'm already offended.
Don't be offended. Here's why the O'Hare part and the Midway part is a waste of time. Because if you're going there, you're probably leaving town, right? So
true.
What do you care what the temperature is there? You're going someplace else.
I don't think of it that way. I think if I live near O'Hare, then I know it's a different temperature than Midway, and I live closer to Midway.
Yeah, but what do you do with that information?
Can't you round things out? Why do you have to be at Bill Luff's house? It's 76
degrees. Why don't they ever
do that?
They should do that.
I'm sure Domati can do that.
I don't.
For the next
newscast. Would you
newscast.
Mind doing that? Just throw in what it is by my house.
You got
so I know.
It's always warmer at Bill's house.
Golly.
Well, thank you for believing that. That's very nice.
There's always sunshine at my house.
Yes.
Not really. There's a big cloud over my house all the time.
Now, that said, I used to enjoy, like, on the news, and they don't do this anymore because, you know, every second counts now on television. You know
that. Yeah.
All right, so it used to be when they would get to the sports part, they would not just tell you, like, here in Chicago, we have two baseball teams, so they tell you what the Cubs did and the White Sox did, but then they would tell you all the other scorers, all of them, from around the league. And, you know, I'm a baseball fanatic, so that meant something to me. You know, the Orioles over the Yankees, 6-3. I go, well, how about that? I didn't expect that. But now, you know, because of computers and stuff, if anyone wants that information, you got it on your phone. You could just look it up in a second.
I always kind of wonder about that with traffic, too.
Oh, yeah.
You don't realize how important those reports are until something major is happening. But when everything's fine, I'm like, do we need?
Right. Because it's always, every morning, let's be honest.
Two complain.
You're going to get, there's going to be traffic, and it's pretty much going to be in the same place almost every day.
So you
right?
want to take away Mary Vandeville's
job? Until Mary tells us that a semi flew off the divider or something crazy, and then
right.
you're like, okay, I needed to know that.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, speaking, you said you like sports. I have some sports trivia. Can I throw this your way?
I would love it, yes.
I think I might stump both of you.
All right.
I don't know how to phrase it as a question, and I just want to blurt out what it is.
Put a question mark at the end of it. Like, make your voice go up just a little bit. That's how a question is.
All right. There was a movie called Back to the Future.
Yes.
And there was a guy who played Biff.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Tom Wilson.
All right, A, you scare me.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his son was just drafted by the Mets.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's excellent.
That's my trivia. I guess that wasn't a question.
If his name was Mookie, that'd be the coolest thing in the world.
Mookie Wilson, there already was
one. They had a Met. Mookie Wilson is one of my favorite baseball players.
And another thing I learned is that Todd Rundgren's son has played in the minor leagues of baseball for 9 years.
Oh, that's
isn't
also
that
impressive.
Wild?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
I was watching the Cubs game. I don't know why Jimmy Mack had that on, but whoever was announcing, and I don't know who
and
it
you
was.
You were gleaming knowledge from it.
I said, wait, did they just say Todd Rundgren? So, rewound. Yeah. And yes, they did. Todd Rundgren's son. Oh, God, what's his name? Rex.
Rex Rundgren.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with
isn't that a good
him.
Baseball game name?
Yes, it is.
He's played for the minors for 9 years, and Tom Wilson, is that who it is?
Yeah.
His son plays for the Mets. Just drafted.
Let's hope that Todd Rundgren's son is slightly nicer than Todd Rundgren.
Todd's very nice.
You don't remember our interview with him at the Loop?
Nope. I swear to God, did I even work with you?
He was the exact opposite of nice.
That was how many years ago?
It was 23, 24 years ago.
What happened?
He was just so awful. He was really mean to us. You don't remember that at all?
Bill, I swear to God, I block everything out.
I think you do.
Because you bring things up, and I'm like, was I with you that
but
day?
But sometimes they're like, I'll go, hey, your
meeting
wedding
Keanu
was great,
Reeves.
And
no,
you'll go, my
I
wedding?
I
when
remember
did I get
that.
Married?
But any work-related thing, like, and this I'm sure happens to you, you'll, when you and I used to do mornings at Q101, I used to go home, obviously before my mom died, and she was, she needed a little help around the house. She was battling cancer, and she goes, Don and Roma were so good today.
Oh.
And I looked at her, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Could you listen to us, maybe?
Not if Don and Roma are on. You listen to them.
And then somebody will just ask me yesterday, oh, what'd you do on the show? I'm like, I have no idea.
I don't remember at all.
What'd we do on the show yesterday, Mr. Smarty Pants?
Oh, I remember. Dr. John Duffy came by and David Hochberg.
Wow.
Yeah. Let me just prove, maybe this will refresh your memory, how awful Todd Rundgren was to us. We got I got a voicemail from Bob Stroud, a fellow DJ, who said, he goes, without any explanation, he goes, heard the show yesterday, don't worry about it, he can be that way, meaning Todd Rundgren.
Well, if Stroud says it's okay, then everybody has a bad day.
He was awful to us, like horrible to us.
What did he do? What, did he make fun of you?
I brought up, there was a story, you know, Liv Tyler, you know, yeah, the story where she grew up.
She grew up thinking Todd was her dad.
Right.
For quite some time.
And that story had just broke at the time. That was a big story. Like, it had come out a week or two earlier. And I asked about his comment, and he goes, I don't know what you're talking about, which he did.
Yeah,
and then I
sensed
he didn't want to talk about it, so I started going in a different direction. I asked him some other question, and then he brought it back up. You know?
Well, did you start with that? Because that was probably
no,
a bad way to start.
No, that was after one or two awkward exchanges already. Because at that point,
so
I
you
went,
figured, what do we have
I
to
got
lose?
Nothing to lose at this point. I'll ask him anything. But he was really surly, like horrible.
Well, that was a weird story because Buell.
B.B. Buell. Right, the former model.
Was with Todd Rundgren for quite some time, and they had a little breakup, and then she went and got impregnated by Steven Tyler.
Yeah. Hey, we've all been there. Who amongst us? That story you just told, raise your hand if that hasn't happened to you. Everybody. Come on.
So that had that, and that just broke because she was told, she was like
prior.
9 years old before they finally, her name was Liv Rundgren for quite some time.
Yeah.
That's got to be a shocker if all of a sudden it's like...
I'm sure it is.
Wait a minute. First of all, wild that Todd Rundgren is my dad, but now you're saying Steven Tyler is my dad?
But if you're him, and that if a punk interviewer like me asks you that question, don't you just go, ah, that's something I really don't want to talk about. But he claimed to not know what I was... I don't know what you're talking about. And he did. Of course
well, that
he
was
did.
His way of saying I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. But then when I let it go, and I did, he brought it back at least once, and I think twice.
Well, sure, you got in his craw.
That's not where I want to be.
Todd Rundgren's craw.
That's the last place I want to be.
If some young musicians have a band, that's what you name it.
That's a great name.
Todd Rundgren's craw.
All right, we must take a break, and then the great band Todd Rundgren's craw will join us, Wendy. Hard to say.
It is hard to say. It doesn't flow off the
Very
tongue.
Very hard to say. Ooh, it's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. You know what you got to see? I don't know if you've been following the news, but there's this plan for Elon Musk's company, which, by the way, has a great name, and I'll tell you what the name is in just a little bit.
Todd Rundgren's craw?
Yes, that's the name. I don't know why he would name it that, because it has nothing to do with what they do, but, you know, it's up to him. All right, so there's a video of what this system will look like,
Boring company?
Yeah, isn't that great?
Well, because they're going to bore, but you think of it the other way. That's a boring company.
That's got to be intentional, right? They did that to be funny. I love that. All right. So Elon Musk has this company, and the plan is for them to build the system by which you'll be able to get on these pods around downtown Chicago, and then you'll take essentially a high-speed train rail ride under the city and tunnels under the city. They'll go like 105 or 110 miles an hour and get you to O'Hare.
In 12 minutes.
In minutes, yeah. But it looks, you know, when you see movies like Logan's Run that are like far off in the future, and you go, well, we'll never see that in our lifetime. That's what the far off future looks like. But then you see this video of what their plan is to do, and you go, hey, that's the far off future. It's coming. It's almost here.
I don't know why it scares me. I mean, remember when the floods happened underground? Yeah. I just feel like, you know, the city's been here a long time. If you're now boring underground, mm-hmm. I just worry about collapse.
Mm-hmm. And rats the size of horses.
Oh, my God, yes.
Right?
Thank God you're in a pod.
Right.
But you have to get to the pod.
It'll be like a scene from any of the Jurassic Park movies where they're in some sort of pod and Tyrannosauruses are all around them.
Velociraptor.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
But wouldn't you be claustrophobic? I would be. I don't know that I could do it.
It's
underground.
It's like 10 or 11 minutes or something. Is that what it'll take?
Go in your garden later today and dig a tunnel under your garden. Yeah. It's going to cave in. I know they're going to put supports and things. But it just, how long is that going to take?
Well, I don't know if you know this. This doesn't get a lot of publicity. There's already a bunch of tunnels under the city. You know that, right?
The escape route for people.
Yeah, well, is that what they're for?
I don't know.
They're for various purposes. One was an old streetcar tunnel that they never really sealed up. One is for water. One is the Pedway. They made that into
the Pedway. I've never been on that.
You've never been in there, ever?
I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
But now you tell me there are
like
shops and restaurants.
Deli under there. You can't be scared.
Seriously, I'm all over that.
There's all kinds of restaurants and things under there. It's not scary.
And that goes pretty far, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes pretty far, but it's kind of broken up. Like, it's not always continuous. Depending on where you want to go, sometimes you have to get out of it for a little bit and go a street and then go back in it.
So vampires wouldn't fare well in it because they have to go up to the sunlight for a couple times?
Vampires.
You can't walk all the way through without going up?
It depends on where you're going, you know? Because there are some routes, shorter routes, that, yeah, you can do it all through the Pedway. Now, there's also a tunnel. I'm trying to remember what the name of the building is that I used to work in. When you'd leave their parking lot, there was a tunnel that said restricted access and government vehicles only. And I asked about that, and the guy who ran one of the building custodians said, oh, that's a tunnel to O'Hare, but only cops and fire engines can use it. And I don't know if that's true or not. Can that be true? Are there already tunnels to O'Hare that we're not aware of?
I don't know. I don't know why Domati's not jumping in because he does his podcast.
From a tunnel.
What's it called again,
Domati's
Jasmine?
Tunnel.
No.
Oh, Shypedia.
Shypedia.
Domati, do you know the answer to any? I just threw out about 11 questions. I don't know if you know the answers to any of them. They're a couple of blocks away, so southeast of us, there's a tunnel when you leave a parking structure that says restricted access, government vehicles only. And the story I was told was that only cops and fire engines and stuff can use it. Do you know if that's true or not? That it goes to O'Hare and we can't use it?
I've never seen this.
You don't know?
I've never seen this.
All right.
Sounds like a conspiracy.
If you go to ChicagoDetours.com, and I'm sure there are other places, they have a whole map of the Pedway. And this thing is pretty involved.
Did you have any idea when you look at the map that there was that much of it, underground walkways?
No.
There's a lot of it. But like I said, it's tricky because you really have to know your routing. And then there's some places you just can't get to.
I want to know how long it is. That I don't. It's the most complex. It connects all these buildings, but I don't have any statistics here.
There was a time, and I don't know if it's still that way. It might still be. This is when Macy's was Marshall Field's. Remember I told you the story about how there was a watch guy, like not in the regular basement, but the second basement? All right, so I was down there one time, and then I look over to the side, and there's windows that I just assumed, you know, because it's underground, just went to nothing, just blank windows. I don't know why they'd put glass down there. But then one time when I was down there, I saw two people walking on the other side of the windows. And I said to a shopper, I go, you saw that too, right? And he goes, yeah, that's part of the Pedway, but I didn't know that.
I think it's an experiment. They have people living down
there. That's what it is. Mole people?
I think so. I don't know the length.
Mole people
of
who got
it.
Their watches done at Marshall Fields? That's convenient.
I don't have any facts on this.
But you can see by looking at that map that unless you really know where you're going up above, if you're down below following this weird kind of habit trail of various lanes and stuff, you get very lost, right?
Yeah, I can imagine that.
It's a little tricky to navigate.
I know that you have to go down to get on one of the L trains, which is confusing to me.
Because L is elevated, and why would you go down to go on an elevated train? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't venture out much. I'm a 708er, and the big city scares me, Bill.
Yeah, it's a scary place. All right, why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show. So please stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thanks, Doma T. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Father's Day is this Sunday. I remember it well when I had my first son, Michael, 19 years ago. Jim and I did not know what to do. But boy, I think Jim changed more diapers than I did.
Good for him.
And you, of course, remember the day your daughters were born.
Yes.
All right, let's introduce our guest, and then I have a bone to pick with you.
All right.
David McGlynn is here, author of this really great book, One Day You'll Thank Me, Lessons from an Unexpected Fatherhood. First of all, David, welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
We will talk about your book, but I have to tell you, we were talking off the air, and you have two boys, and I have two boys, and we were kind of commiserating about sometimes they're not really perfect.
Right.
We're proud of them. They're great kids, but they're a handful sometimes.
Absolutely.
Bill sits back. He goes, yeah, everybody said, you know, when my girls are teenagers, just wait. You're still waiting. You've never had any problems.
They've been really good.
You're either a liar or have to ask your wife, Terry.
I think she would say the same. You know, everybody who said, yeah, they're great now, but give it a year, give it 2 years, give it 3 years. They were really very, very good. I feel bad because I know I know all of our friends who have boys, and that I will include both of you in this, age at a much more rapid rate than we do. Our friends look like they're 30 years older than us who have boys.
You know? Well, you got very lucky, I would say.
Yeah. You know. Because it's not, I mean, you know this, because now your sons are how old? 13?
So now they're 13 and 11.
All right.
When the book finishes, they're 11 and 9.
So isn't there this need to establish dominance, even within the family? Boys have this weird need of being very territorial for some reason.
You know, I think that's absolutely the case, that they have this sort of, you know, kind of bucking the herd kind of mentality. My sons are also, even though they're 2 years apart, they were until about a year ago really close in size. Mm-hmm. And so this like need to dominate each other, which was never one way. It wasn't just the older boy trying to like master the younger one, was always a sort of part of their growing up. So from the time they were 2 and 4, they were at each other. We described our house as an Irish midget wrestling match like, all the time. You know, flying squirrels off the sofa and stuff sort of sweeping off the coffee table.
Right.
Here's something I didn't understand being the mother of two teenage boys. They're 3.5 years apart, almost 16 and 19. And do your boys, like, physically fight?
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that
constantly.
Before. And you did that with your brother?
All the time.
Yeah. I cannot stand it.
McMahon used to come to our house and call the fights. It was amazing.
And then I hear my husband going, you guys, this stresses mom out. They don't care.
Yeah.
So they physically, and then they'll lay next to each other playing video games, I bet, a minute later or something.
You know, one of my favorite moments is that this has happened more than once, in which they have been at each other so much that we have, on occasion, moved the furniture out of the way, made them take off their shirts and shake hands and then go at it.
Really?
And the rule is whoever cries first and says, I'm done, loses. And so it's over. You have an automatic tag out.
I love you.
But then, you know, they can go. And they will fight to the death. And, you know, big slap on the belly.
Where it leaves a handprint?
Oh, yeah. You can see the whole Superman insignia, only it's a handprint. And they'll just, you know, they'll fight until someone is, you know, almost bleeding.
Now,
and
we used to ask our dad, every year we would ask both of our parents if we could have boxing gloves as a Christmas present.
Right.
And they would say, no, absolutely not. We're not letting that happen.
You know, sometimes you have to bleed it out a little bit.
I think you're right.
And I think that's probably true with some of the bad language, as well as some of the sort of physical roughhousing.
Yep.
They need to just get it out.
You know what's so hard about being a parent? You say the bad language. Bill, you know I swear a lot.
Oh, yeah, I've heard you swear once.
I've sworn in front of my kids. It happens. Yet I still cringe a little bit when my kids swear, but that's just all part of growing up. We did it. Do you feel weird?
Well, I don't want them to swear in public.
There's a time and a place.
There's a time and a place. I don't want them to swear where someone might judge them for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I wish I could say that we were always, you know, clean-lipped around the house. That's just not always the case.
Yeah.
And there's a moment in which, you know, we'll sort of let them have it. We have what we call cuss time.
Wait,
I am moving into your house. I'm telling you.
Explain the rules of cuss time.
So cuss time is we will have dedicated moments of time, 5 and 10 minutes at a time. Often when we're in the car, when you're in the car, you're contained, and they can just, you know, say whatever they want, and you know you can
anything.
There are probably 3 words that they are not allowed to say, and I won't name them, but you could guess them.
Yeah.
Everything else is free reign.
Yeah.
And they can get it out. And one time we did it. We were driving to a wedding from Wisconsin to Minneapolis, and so we were on the bridge that goes across the Mississippi River, and I said, okay, for the duration of that bridge, you can say whatever you wanted. And it was just like, you know, truckers at a strip club, you know,
anything
cussing
goes.
The back of the car. And I think they were like 7 and 5 at the time, and they were just, you know. And the funny thing is as they went through all the bad language, then at the end, the little one said, I've got one for you, holy crab cakes. You know, and that was his, like, I did it. That was the bad word that he'd been waiting to say.
Wow.
You know?
It's a lot of work raising kids. I didn't think it was going to be as hard as it was, but the title of your book holds true. One day you'll thank me, and one day they will.
I hope so.
Do you think they will? Because I don't know that they will.
Don't you thank your parents for things now?
It comes under the bracket of understanding. Like, there's a lot of things that a parent will throw down and say, you can't do this or you must do this.
Right.
You go, what are you talking about? And then one day it hits you, oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
I would have cut my hand off if I would have done that.
So there's that. You know, the other side of it is I hope that they will see one day, if they don't see it now, that I always paid attention.
Yeah.
You know, I recognized them for who they were at the time that they were going through whatever they were going through. And that means when they were little, but then even as they grew. And as the conversations become more complicated,
right?
You know, I'm not perfect by any stretch. I mean, trust me.
Yeah.
But I do try to see them for the people that they're trying to be.
You know what worked for me? On more than one occasion, I'd say to the girls, if we were disagreeing about something, I'd say, this just proves that I care about you. Because if
right.
I didn't care about you, I'd let you do it and think about that. There's a lot of parents who just not care enough to change this.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. That's right.
The amazing thing about kids that I've learned having teenagers now is, as a parent, before you go through it, you think, boy, they're going to need me so much when they're babies because they rely on me to eat, to change their diapers. But honestly, this is where our kids need us the most, is the teen years when they're turning into young men or women.
That's right. You know, my wife and I were just talking about this yesterday, that when kids are little, especially when they're babies, their needs are all physical. And as they grow, it slowly transitions from physical need to emotional need. And now, you know, as my sons are moving into their teenage years, they can do almost everything physically on their own, including, you know, make themselves food. We joked that the 11-year-old could drive us home if one of us had too much to drink. I mean, he's sort of that
capable.
That's
our family.
But they need emotional support. And as they're, you know, especially when you're getting into puberty, your emotions just go crazy and your hormones are sort of raging.
Did they avoid showers for a while? Did they go through that phase? Because mine did. And now, just listeners, in case you run into them, they do shower daily. But there was a while, and everybody kept saying, oh, you'll laugh about this later. It's like, just take a shower.
We waffle between no shower and excessive showering.
Yes.
So one doesn't want to go at all, the other wants to go like four times.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's excellent. The book is called One Day You'll Thank Me. David McGlynn is our guest. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. We'll take those next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Father's Day is this Sunday, and we have David McGlynn in the studio with us. The book is called One Day You'll Thank Me, and he's going to be doing a live book signing and reading tonight at 6:30 at the Bookstall, 811 Elm Street in Winnetka. The event is free. You can go to thebookstall.com. Now, parts of this particular book has been featured in Men's Health, the New York Times, Real Simple, which is Martha Stewart's magazine, and O, Oprah magazine.
Wow.
That's right.
Congratulations.
And Parents
on all
magazine
those.
And a few other places. Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Yeah.
I know your writing in the past has been predominantly fiction. This time these are based on true stories.
That's
they
right.
are true stories. How do the boys feel about being featured in a book?
You know, so we had a couple years ago a long conversation about whether they would be okay with this. And
yeah.
they said, do it.
Really?
You know, let's give it a whirl. And so then as these pieces appeared in the magazines, I got to read them.
Yeah.
Especially the older one who was, you know, kind of older in school and more ready to read them. And they would laugh. And I think, you know, now he would say at 13 that he's not so sure he wants me to keep writing about him.
Yeah,
but I think they like these stories. That go backwards in time. So
oh, when that's
we
great.
See them as younger kids.
Good.
Yeah.
We have a rule at our house now, because before when they were younger, you could talk about your kids,
right.
whatever. Now it's like, you know, is this safe for air? Can I talk about this? You have to ask their permission as yeah. they get older.
I think we've just now hit that stage. And in some ways, stopping the book where I did, which is when my older son is about to go to junior high, seemed about a sort of natural stopping
sure.
point for that.
Yeah.
Junior high, they come into Instagram and Snapchat accounts and friends
yeah.
and, you know, all the other things that make them start to have true private lives.
What do you see? What parts of yourself do you see in them?
Well, so my older son is, he can be kind of uptight,
mm-hmm.
and I wish I weren't that way, but I have a little bit of that. He can be kind of obsessive about, you know, for him it's like his clothes and tags on his t-shirts, and I'm more about, you know, kind of shoes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So more brand names and
well,
style.
It's not the brand names. It's like the way they fit, right? If they don't fit quite right, then you just, like, I can't get over a pair of shoes that don't fit right.
And do they cut the tags off their shirts?
The older one does.
Yeah, my younger one does.
The older one does, yeah.
It bothers them.
I'm a lifelong swimmer.
Yeah.
And the little one is a really good swimmer, in part because I've always taken him to the pool
yeah.
just to sort of burn some of their energy out. He also has, the little one has a really kind of sharp, quick sense of humor.
Does that make you proud
when
you
see that? Yeah, yeah. It does. He's very funny. He can bend language.
Oh, good.
He tells a good...
Holy crab cakes.
Holy crab cakes. He tells a good joke. Yeah, we were watching a show one time in which a woman, it was like one of those home repair shows,
yeah.
and a woman was moving a heavy piece of furniture. And she had on a tank top, and she looked down at her arms, and she said, is there a vet nearby? Because these pythons are sick. So about a week or so later, the little one came up to me and said, hey, Dad, is there a vet nearby? And he flexes his bicep, because my panthers are pissed.
Didn't
he,
quite get
and he
it
totally
right.
screws it up, but it made it like way, way funnier.
Yeah.
So then my older son started to tease him, and for several months we were teasing him about getting this joke wrong. And so he started telling like bad jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and is there a plumber nearby because it's raining? You know, no one could get it quite right. And finally the little one looked at us and said, is there a chicken nearby? Because I've got your mom.
What?
Wow.
Which is like the weirdest joke ever, but the way he said it was just so... perfect.
Yeah.
Right? It's, you know,
oh, that's beautiful.
Why did the chicken cross the road? Is there yeah. a vet nearby? And yo mama
yeah.
all at once.
Everything was there.
Know? Yeah.
Good for him.
Really funny.
The weirdest thing about having kids, I think, is to, you know, have two boys that are, or two girls, or just two kids that are entirely different.
That's right.
In your head, you're thinking, you know, I've raised one. This is going to be the same. Oh, no. Completely different.
Yeah, you think you've got it figured out with one,
yeah.
and then you've got to go and do the other. And in some ways, you know, the book talks about that parenthood is kind of a constantly changing routine, and children are endlessly moving targets.
Right.
You know? And I think that I started out imagining that I had these principles and ideas that we were going to live by, you know, and what parent doesn't. And then you get into it and you realize, well, I'm going to have to improvise.
Yeah.
And in my case, I usually had to take my idea, screw it up a couple times, learn from it, and then go back and figure out some other way to come at the problem.
Wouldn't you agree, though, when all is said and done, I know your kids are just halfway through growing up, they're 13
yeah.
or 11, but when you look back, you go, I wouldn't trade this for anything.
Oh, no, that's the best stuff.
Yeah,
all the mistakes and the crazy chaos, that's all the stuff that's the really sweet stuff.
I worked with this woman at another radio station who had a ton of kids and a ton of grandkids, and when Michael was first born, both my husband and I worked there. We didn't know what to do, and she said, the only advice I can give you is just love them and try your best. Would that be good advice?
I think that's really the only advice, you know, that you have to just keep showing up. And, you know, I think every parent will screw it up one way or another. And sometimes you screw it up in like little cute funny ways, and other times
there are big ones.
There are big ones, and you've got to try to untangle, you know, whatever that is. But if you just keep showing up.
And what about, you know, a lot of times I know men have a difficult time admitting they're wrong. Don't you think it's an important thing to admit to your kids, I made a mistake?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, it's one of the reasons that there aren't a lot of fatherhood books out there. Because in order for a book to have any kind of teeth to it, you have to get your main character, who in this case is the author, into trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, and it can be hard for a dad or many men to admit that they thought they had it figured out, and then they screwed it up. And I'm not perfect at that, but I do try to admit when I'm wrong.
David, great meeting you.
It's been great to be here.
The book is great. One Day You'll Thank Me by David McGlynn. And then tonight there is a book signing. Explain away on how people can see this.
Yeah, so it's going to be at the Bookstall in Winnetka, 6:30 p.m. Chicago and L.A. author Chris Erskine is going to be with me as well. So he has a new book out. We're going to be doing it together. If you are in the area, it'd be great to have people come out. I'll read for a little while, so you'll get to hear about a 10 or 15 minute taste of the book, and then I'll put my name in every book.
Beautiful.
And then Father's Day gifts for all the dads out there.
It's a great Father's Day gift.
Great to meet you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Thanks, David. All right, a quick break, some news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. What is that lyric? Do you know what that lyric is?
I know, I just mumbled it, that's why. But he's Gordon Lightfoot.
Sundown, you better. Here it is. I got
a
text from Gordon Lightfoot. Is Sundown a horse?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, now the song makes sense. I had no idea Sundown was a horse. They should say that in the title. Is he the horse with no name?
I don't know if he and Neil Young went horseback riding and composed some songs. I don't really know.
Doesn't it bother you in that song? The guy's been through the desert on a horse with no name. Name the horse. You're just riding around in the desert. Just take a moment to name the horse.
Right, because when you're having conversations with the horse, don't you ask its name?
Right.
What's your name?
Right.
Wilbur.
And even if he doesn't, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Just name the horse. Sundown is a horse. All right.
I think so. I might be.
You don't think it is?
I don't know now.
It could just be a sundown, couldn't it?
I think it's about a horse, but why don't you be the fifth caller right now at 312-981-7200. Go see Gordon Lightfoot. In the middle of that song, yell out, is Sundown a horse?
Yeah.
No, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Fifth caller.
Because I heard on the radio woman who said it was a horse. Just yell that.
No. 312-981-7200. Caller number 5, Jazzy. Tickets for Gordon Lightfoot live in concert. The legend lives on. It's happening Sunday, September 16th. It's at the Copernicus Center in Chicago.
Is Copernicus a horse?
No.
He's an astronomer.
What's the name of our winner already?
Al from Plainfield is our winner.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
I didn't know if you heard that. You have, of course, Sundown. I think written about a horse.
Wendy, the lyric is, I can see her laying back in her satin dress in a room where you do what you don't confess. There's nothing. If that's a horse, that's sick. That's just sick.
Horse porno.
That's exactly what that is.
All right, so don't yell it out.
Please don't yell it out and embarrass us in front of Gordon Lightfoot.
he's older now. He probably won't hear you yet.
Now, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, that's about a horse.
Right.
Yeah.
If you could read my mind, that's the one about a horse.
Yeah, he does a lot of horse-related
stuff. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. I don't know what rock and roll song I'm confusing it with, but
Wildfire?
I will find it.
Wildfire?
Yes.
Yeah, that's about a horse. Because they say on a horse called Wildfire. But there's nothing. I'm looking at all the lyrics, and it's very steamy.
You know, sometimes my mind confuses things.
Sure.
And you will also hear, in addition to these hits, Al from Plainfield, personal anecdotes and stories. You can find out the inspiration behind Sundown and that it's not about a horse. If you'd like to go and you didn't win tickets like Al from Plainfield, get reserved tickets at CopernicusTickets.com. Or keep listening, because I think tomorrow we have another pair to give away. Wildfire!
Yeah, that's about a horse.
Who did that song?
I don't know who that was. But wouldn't it be funny if Gordon Lightfoot just did songs, horse-related songs?
A horse is a horse.
A horse is a horse, of course. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Michael Martin Murphy. How do you not know that?
Michael Martin Murphy did it. That's right.
Good God, y'all.
Wendy, when building a business, you know this. Now, this is not part of the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is separate. But when building a business, the most important thing is putting a good name on your business. If you have a business, no matter how great it is, that doesn't have a catchy name, you're in trouble, right?
Like you like Elon Musk's Boring Company, the Boring Company.
Yeah.
But in a weird way, that's not a good name.
Because they, for people who don't know, they're going to build these tunnels underneath the city of Chicago where there will be like rapid transit that gets you to and from O'Hare to downtown.
In 12 minutes.
In 12 minutes. And the name of his company is The Boring Company because they bore down into the ground. But I think that's a great name because it sounds like it's, you know, you're yawning at the name of his company. But I have here some of the greatest poorly named businesses of all time. You tell me where you think these places went wrong,
all
okay?
Right.
This was a place in Edmond, Oklahoma, and what they did, what their focus is, was on sending out packages faster than the U.S. mail did, kind of like a UPS, you know? But the name of their business, which was open for 10 years, from 1980 to 1990, was Going Postal. Is that a good name or a bad name?
It's not appropriate, but I kind of like it.
I love it, but it's bad for business because it implies that the people inside are having emotional problems.
I can no longer make fun of mail carriers because my girlfriend just got a job as a mail carrier.
Oh.
I'm so excited for
her. Now you have to be polite to them. Good, good. There was a restaurant for a while. Now, I know for a fact there was a place in downstate Illinois called this because when I did stand-up, I worked at this place. It's a restaurant called Sam and Ella's.
Yeah, I like that.
That's great, right?
Well, it's a joke, and obviously they'll be extra special careful not to give you salmonella.
Right. They'll go out of their way to give you anything but salmonella. A coffee shop was open for a while, didn't last long. The name of the coffee shop, Jitters. I'm all right with that. Coffee makes you a little jittery, right?
A little bit, yeah.
So it's accurate. I wish they said where this place was. They do not. It's a gas company, a small gas company, and their name
called PFFFFT.
That's even better. Yours beat this one. The name of their gas company was Passmore Gas.
Pass the Gas would have been better.
Pass the Gas is good, but like Passmore, which sounds like an uppity name.
Passmore Gas. Right. That's pretty good, actually.
Here's a funeral home, and they're called Am I Gone Funeral Home. AMIGONE. Am I Gone Funeral Home.
I don't like that.
Because death is funny. I think we have to admit. The one thing we can all agree on is that when somebody dies, it's always amusing. Here's a Mexican restaurant called Tequila Mockingbird.
I remember that was here, right? Yes.
Wasn't that here?
I totally remember that.
That's a great name for a business.
I like that.
I love it.
They probably got sued, though.
Who would sue them?
Who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird?
Harper Lee.
Her estate?
Her estate, the estate of Harper Lee. For a while, Toyota had a car. I don't know if they still... Do they still have the Previa?
Mm-mm.
Toyota Previa? It says, surely the marketing team responsible for naming this minivan after a dangerous pregnancy complication were a bunch of clueless men. I wasn't aware of that.
I wasn't Previa either, so I'm a clueless woman.
In Spanish and Italian, the word Previa means something along the lines of previous or preview, but in English, the word is used in placenta previa,
when
the placenta obstructs a baby from moving through the birth canal. So if you're a car company and you're spending so much money on marketing a car, wouldn't you spend a little bit of on research to make sure that the word isn't offensive to anybody?
Yeah.
You would think, right?
It sounds like an artificial sweetener, like stevia.
Yes, it does. Okay, we have more of these. These are business names that, for one reason or another, might not have been in the best interest of the business.
But first, Craig has to clear something up. Hi, Craig. I made a mistake. I made a boo-boo.
Hello, Wendy and Bill. It is not about a whore, or whatever they call
them. No, Sundown, I said, was about a horse.
There's two of them. Horse with No Name is about heroin.
Oh, yeah, see? That's not, in fact, about a horse.
Sundown is about his girlfriend at that time, Kathy Smith.
Yeah.
That he was writing about her. She's more famous with the death of John Belushi.
Kathy Evelyn Smith.
Kathy Smith, yeah, it's about her.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that real? For sure? You're positive?
I've heard that years ago. Oh. And I just it up on Wikipedia. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, I don't believe anything on Wikipedia.
Wendy, it's on the internet. It must be true.
It's on the internet. Yeah. I mean, Wikipedia is supposed to be the most up-to-date one.
It's the Walter Cronkite of our generation. It's trusted.
It's the anti-Walter Cronkite. And that's hard to say. Well, Craig, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Horse with no name. That's right.
So horse heroin. Horse with no name. There's no actual horse. That's all. It's all.
You
heroin.
Said whore now too.
Horse. That's all made up.
Well, no. He was going through the desert doing heroin, and ran into Jim Morrison and saw a couple of Native Americans.
The guy was riding his horse through a desert. I took it too literally.
Because we were little when that song came out,
right.
And I remember like driving to Florida with my cousin, my sister, and my aunt, and that song would come on, and we'd all sing along because you knew the word to it.
Sure.
This is not one of my favorite songs, quite honestly. It's a little mellow.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was a horse with no name. Name your horse.
I feel dirty. All right,
this horse was named Heroin. Isn't that wild?
That is crazy. Well, a quick break, and then more of these business names. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Crazy business names, that's what we're discussing. I am 100% positive Tequila Mockingbird was here.
I think it was. I'm almost sure it was. There was, for a while, a Chinese restaurant fairly close to me called Abe's Pagoda that I thought had a really catchy name.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that a great name?
I love that.
There's a jewelry store near Oak Brook called Mary Richards Jewelers. Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, like, you know, overly happy. But Mary Richards was Mary Tyler Moore's name on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
I didn't put those two
so
together.
So they got that. There is a restaurant opening up in Evanston. It's not open yet, but I think it's scheduled to open in the next few weeks, called Falcon Eddie's, which was spelled differently, but that was the name of the villain in Rich Man, Poor Man with Nick Nolte and Peter Strauss. I can't imagine like being that big of a Rich Man, Poor Man fan and sitting on that for 30 years going, someday I'm going to open up a restaurant and name it after Falcon Eddie, the villain on that show.
I can't get past Abe's Pagoda.
Isn't
and
that
I would
a great
have gone
name?
There. Yeah, but I mean, do you go there for a funny name or do you go there for good food?
Well, they're not open anymore, so.
There you go.
I think we know.
Betty has called in to offer a one of these crazy business names. Hi, Betty.
Hi. How are you guys?
Great.
Good, Betty. What's up?
I love you, too.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I remember my dad talking about a business in Chicago on Halsted Street, just north of 50th in Halsted, a funeral home called Ketchum and Killam's.
Ketchum and Killam's?
No, it was real.
Really?
In Killam's Funeral Home on Halston, Chicago.
Surprised it's not still in business.
I believe this was in the 30s and the 40s.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I remember him talking
great
about
name.
It.
Betty, yeah. Thank you so much.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks,
and
Betty.
I do enjoy you.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Have fun. And Stuart has one, too. I think these are wives' tales. I don't know if they're true. Stuart, this is believable? This is real?
Oh, this is real. You can check it out. How you guys doing, by the way? I love listening to you. You crack me up.
Oh.
I drive for a living, and you make the drive much less more. It's not like working. It's like just having fun.
Oh,
thank you, Stuart.
Thanks, Stuart.
Anyway, that's very nice.
I live in the Rockford area, and there's a tree service that's been running a commercial lately on TV.
Yeah.
And the name of the tree service is Morning Wood. And I got one other one for you. It's not really a name. It used to be an advertiser. I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
All right.
But I won't say their name, but it was a hospice, and their tagline was, such and such hospice, live life like there's no tomorrow.
Very
oh
nice.
My
it was
God.
A joke at first.
Right.
And I thought it was a joke at first. It's like something you do on Saturday Night Live, one of those fake TV commercials
yeah.
or
right.
something. But they were running that ad for quite a while.
I don't remember that.
Did we run it here?
About 7-8 years ago.
Was it on the station on WGN or somewhere else?
Yes, it was.
It was.
Yes, it was.
Very nice. Stuart, uh-huh. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Have a great day.
And keep up the great work.
Thank you,
it.
Sir.
Thanks, Stuart. And since
right,
you're driving every once in a while, I'm going to just all of a sudden go, you're following too closely. Step on the brake.
Yeah,
I'll
sure.
backseat drive for you.
No. I drive a limousine, so I keep a very long stopping distance.
Good
so.
For you. Thanks, Stuart. And remember, Beecher, Illinois has a meat place. I
yes.
mean, everybody calls and talks about
what's
that.
It called, Wendy?
I'm not. You can figure it out.
A meat place in Beecher? It's the first I'm hearing of this.
It's meat and liquor
yep.
in Beecher.
Sure it is.
That's a word scramble for you.
The beauty of Morning Wood, the company called Morning Wood is, it's just subtle enough to where most people would see it and not even think about it. That's the magic. That's the magic of that.
A toddler wouldn't think about it.
Yeah, a toddler.
Everyone else would think about that.
Here's a tobacco shop that called itself Chew and Butts. You know, like chewing tobacco and butts being the cigarette portion of that.
That's silly.
This is a prosthetics place called Stubbs Prosthetics.
That is not funny or true.
It is true. That's very funny. This was a tree service. They'll either plant a tree for you if you need one uprooted, and it is called Spruce Spring Clean.
Eh.
Doesn't do it for you? It's close. I mean, they're in the neighborhood, right?
Spruce it up would be better.
Spruce it up. Oh, very nice.
I'm available if anybody needs their business named, although Tony has a good one, and I've heard of this place. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you doing, Lenny? Hi, Bill. Hey, when I was in eighth grade, I'm 50 now, but my buddy's dad had a chimney cleaning service called Ash Wipes.
That's the best. I've passed their trucks. Yeah, that's the best.
You know what, Wendy? That Beecher Meats that's right next to Beecher Tool and Die.
Same strip mall.
Same strip mall, yeah.
Are you two both at Zany's this weekend?
We're working together.
Right.
Tony and I.
Thanks, Tony.
Here's a contracting service called STD Contractors.
Yeah, I'm going to call
someone
else.
That's unfortunate. That's just unfortunate. Now, this one, Curl Up and Die Salon, that was in the Blues Brothers, right? Wasn't that the place?
That's what Stella's.
In fact, it was.
Oh, yes. Do you have that, Stella? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Curl Up and Die DYE.
DYE, yeah. It was on, in fact, it was on 84th and Burley. And originally the place was a restaurant, and I can't remember the name of it, but a beauty salon took it over, and it was just so clever. I thought it was just so clever.
Great name.
That.
Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you so much, Stella.
And I love you guys. My husband and I, we listen to you together every morning, and we just absolutely love you.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Stella. See, we're keeping couples together.
Yes, we are, Wendy. Yes, we are.
Thanks, Stella.
Here's a dentist's office. The dentist's last name is Fiddler, F-I-D-L-E-R, and Dr. Fiddler calls his business Fiddler on the Tooth.
That's just enough to make me laugh.
That's perfect. I'll give you one more quick one. This is a hamburger place. Doesn't say where it is, but they call themselves Hindenburger, which I'm not sure is the best name for a hamburger place, considering how that story ended.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Masturbate and Tackle. Do you like that one? That's a fishing shop.
Hello?
Wendy.
We are on the air.
Masturbate and Tackle.
Oh, my God.
Just Falafels. Why is that bad? Why is that one bad? I don't get. Oh, here's why. I'm reading it wrong. It's a falafel place called Just Falafs.
I love it.
That's better.
That one's killing me.
And one more. A cemetery, unfortunately named Little Hope Cemetery. That one's sad.
That is
We went
sad.
From very happy to very sad in less than a second, didn't we?
That's how we roll.
That's how it goes. All right, we'll take a quick break, then some news, and then Dean Richards joins us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys'
Dean. Wendy, you and I saw Dean yesterday. He was, during our show, while we were doing the show yesterday, Dean was here with a film crew filming us for something, a top secret project. What was that for, Dean?
Well, it's top secret.
Oh, you can't say.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to say.
All right, that's fine.
Turns out that studio that we're in has been filled with asbestos for 30 years.
It explains a lot, doesn't it?
It's a good thing we're leaving.
Yes, not a moment too soon. That can be dangerous, I read.
Right.
Yeah.
No, we were just filming because it's all coming to an end there.
Yeah.
After all these decades,
we were taking a sentimental journey.
Yeah.
With exactly. Uncle Dean.
Exactly, we were. Do you hear those voices in
yes.
the background?
Whose voices are those?
The unmistakable voice.
Are you real? Are you for real?
I know who that is.
Yeah, I'm on with Bill and Wendy.
No, you couldn't hear me.
Yes, we could hear you,
hear
Anna.
You in the other room.
Dean, please tell Anna that we said hola.
Bill left. Anna. Anna's not paying attention.
She's not.
Did he do that?
He did. He did do that. But now he said to tell Anna that he says hola.
Hola.
And tell Anna I said nice curlers.
And Wendy says nice curlers?
Mm-hmm.
When were you on with curlers?
I was driving with rollers this morning because it's humid.
Anna Balaval is starring.
I know that you showed up here in curlers.
She's starring in a production of Annie at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse.
She scared me. I turn around and Anna's there with the curlers. It scared me. I thought there was a UFO that had landed.
Oh, no.
But when were you? You were on the air in curlers?
No, I wasn't. I posted.
No, she posted. I follow her on social media.
Sure. Oh, okay.
That's why. Dean, I started to tell you this yesterday, but now
you. Continue your conversation now. What?
Are you on for an hour again?
No, I'm not on for an hour. I'm on for half an hour.
You're going to be on for 22 minutes and she keeps yapping.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well,
oh, no. Dean, I started to tell you this yesterday. Wendy was very upset at me and you the other day.
Yes.
Oh, because bring it on.
And you know, because you're in the business, you don't want to ever give away the end of a movie. That's the worst thing you could ever do.
Never. I don't
but
think
Wendy
I do.
But Wendy said both you and I,
you
within
something.
The last week, that
like
we've
what?
Given away too much information.
No.
Yes, there was one particular movie, and I believe it was Tully.
It was the movie Tully.
And Dean, you had said something like, something happens. And so then...
there's a big surprise.
Bill went on to explain almost the same thing, but went even one step farther. And it's like, you were all witnessed it as it happened, so why did you ruin it for the rest of us who haven't seen it yet, that something special happens?
I don't...
I
don't remember what I said. No, but what I just said that there was a surprise ending.
So Wendy she was upset that you even mentioned that.
She said,
you shouldn't tell people that there's a surprise.
Should we even describe the movie at all then?
No, it was a... because, Bill, you agreed. Now you're putting this all on me.
Well, then I was... because then I went and... based on your recommendation, I went and saw it. And then I spent the movie looking... I'm like, I got to figure out what the surprise is.
Oh, I know.
And I did guess it really early. Really early.
But I want to just be there and
be surprised.
Oh, my God, look at this.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Well, I battle that every week.
I know, and it's a tough job. That's why...
I get what you're saying.
I know.
I totally understand. She's crazy.
But I... I think that gets more people in, Dean, because people go, oh, I like a good surprise.
Well,
that's what made me go see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I really do my best not to spoil anything.
You do a great job with that.
That's, that's going to kill the movie. But
and this won't ruin the movie.
In the case of this movie, it's a woman who's struggling with, raising her family while she's about to have a baby. But if I just said that, that's not an accurate description of what this movie's about, because there is more to it. But if I told you more of what there is to it, then I would be spoiling the ending of the movie. So that's why I felt like it was just okay to say that something else happens.
Yeah. Can I tell you the one that Wendy called me out on? And you
turns out
me?
It's a big musical, by the way.
now that the
movie's been out.
Holy Land.
All right. So we went to see, my wife and I went to see Hereditary the other day, right? So I said, and I don't think this is giving away too much. I said that here's what I've noticed from watching thousands of horror movies over the years. If you're watching a scary movie and they reveal that within the house that they've moved into, there's an attic with a pull-down ladder, something bad is going to happen.
And I said that now all of a sudden when I see the pull-down attic stairs in the movie, I'll know, be careful.
But do you think that's too much to say that, Dean? Because
I don't think
that's so bad.
No, I don't think so. If it doesn't give away, for me, the way I've resolved this, and, you know, believe me, with every single review that I get over the weekend, pretty much through whatever the following week is, it's pretty much half and half. You're the most brilliant critic I've ever heard. You're the biggest idiot critic I've ever heard.
And which ones do you throw away?
I like the I'm idiot critic.
This is a good one.
Keeps me honest.
Sure.
And I wasn't
keeps
as adamant as Bill claiming, but I was saying,
I get it. I get
Dean
it.
Dean kind of ruined it for me because I really want to see that movie because I think I could relate to it since I am pregnant now.
Totally. Made this.
Totally.
What?
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much.
They made this movie for you.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see it. And then I heard Dean and I kind of filed it away and said, whatever.
But don't know what happens at the end of the movie. Right?
Yeah, but you compared it to a movie which I'm scared to say on the air.
Sixth Sense.
Yeah. So then, see, that gives something away.
Only that there is a surprise at the end of the movie.
All right.
Right.
That's the only thing that I meant by that. I don't mean any content right. things. Only that you think the movie is going one way.
Why didn't you say The Crying Game?
Suddenly, well, there's that.
Oh, interesting.
There's that. That's a similar kind of twist.
All right, so that's what you meant. It's just a, takes a twist.
Yeah. Are we all friends again? Are anybody saying?
Yeah.
Okay, I hope so. All right.
But I get it. I understand it. I've had people say that I shouldn't say anything about the movie at all.
Well, that's not good job security for me.
Wendy said, what's up with Dean always giving out the title of the movie and who's in it? Nobody wants to know that.
Some people, that's all they want to hear. They don't even want to know anything about the plot.
Dean, I'm not kidding when I say this. Some of the best movie experience I've ever had is going into a movie and knowing nothing.
Me too.
Zero. Isn't that
Which
cool?
is usually the case for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I often do too.
Isn't that great when that happens?
You know, because I have to see everything as much as I can.
Right.
And often I don't have any idea what the movie is about that I'm going to see, and I just let it come over on me. But
right. when I went to see Action Park, I had no idea what it was about, and I hate to admit, I sort of liked it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I just feel like I have to describe what the movie is. This is my job. To describe what the movie is about, so you can decide whether or not you have any interest in that.
Yes.
And say whether or not, tell you a little bit about what the movie is about.
But not too much.
Right. And then tell you whether or not I think it works or not.
Yeah, that's it. That's easy.
That part's just my opinion.
Yep.
That part, people always say, I forget for what movie. This week where somebody said, did you see the same movie that I did? I can't believe that you said blah, blah, blah. Well, there's not right or wrong
critiques. Right, it's opinion.
It's just, this is my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's your opinion.
That's it.
And that's fine.
That's easy.
You know, some people like steak and some people don't like steak, and that's fine too.
I just want to say, because Bill started a little war here, you do a great job. And it's a tough job. That's why I don't like to tell anybody about a movie, because I'm scared I'm going to wreck it. Because I'm not trained like you are.
Oh, well, Bill does that. Bill likes to throw a can of gasoline.
I know.
There's a
an incendiary device.
He's a fire starter.
I am a fire starter. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Dean will tell us the ends of the three new movies coming out this week. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Are you rocking or what?
I am rocking, Wendy. There's no doubt about it. I'm rocking. It's Bill and Wendy. Our guest is Dean Richards, entertainment reporter over at WGN-TV. Three big movies opening up this weekend. Let's start out with Incredibles 2, Dean. What'd you think?
It's unbelievably great.
Yay! I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, if you love the first one, you're definitely going to love this one. Almost all the voice actors are back again. All the primary ones are back again. And it's a nice story that's a little more focused this time, as many films have been over the past couple of years, a little more female focused. This one focuses on Elastigirl, family trying to get to along without her while she's off trying to foil world dominance. And that's all I'm going to say about this plot of whether it works or not. But it's fun and it's smart and... It's, this one's going to go along with some of the great Pixar movies that have been made. They did a really good job. I can't believe, it's been 14 years since the original Incredibles movie. It's been a long, long time.
Wow. Yeah.
But Dean's Last Day on this one, I loved it. And it's for everyone. Kids are going to love it. Grown-ups are going to love it. Everybody.
Excellent. An A. Or what about Tag?
Tag is...
looks good.
I had high hopes for this movie.
Uh-oh.
And was very disappointed. Turns out this is one of these movies where all the funny stuff that you've seen in the commercials is all the funny stuff that's in the movie. There's not a lot more going on with this. It's a story about a group of adults who have been playing the same game of Tag from when they were little kids. The story just gets, it's very one note.
It's such a cute concept, though, I have to tell you.
And it is for about 10 minutes.
Dean, it's based on a true story, right? There really is a group of guys
who
do this.
At the end of the movie, they show some outtakes, not outtakes, but they show clips of the actual guys who did this, kept this game of tag going for decades. I honestly, I did not. I thought the commercials were funny, but I've seen them 100 times. I honestly did not laugh out loud one time during this movie. I was a little bit disappointed. I like Ed Helms, John Hamm, Jeremy Renner, Jake Johnson.
It is star-studded.
Isla Fisher. Mm-hmm. Got some good, really good people in it, but I think the story just gets a little tedious. So I gave this one C-. I really wasn't crazy about
disappointing.
It.
And then I believe this is a remake. It's another movie called Superfly. Is it based on the old 70s Superfly?
Exactly.
It is.
Yeah, Curtis Mayfield song.
That's right. Superfly. Mm.
I like your version better,
that's
Dean.
That's all I remember. Oddly,
it's kind of short.
It's short, oddly, but it gets right to it.
Well, Wendy's got me paranoid now about saying too much about it.
Don't give away too much of the Superfly song.
Way too much.
Was it Ron O'Neill? Was that the guy's name?
Ron O'Neill played was the title character in this. It was 1972. Was one of the first blaxploitation films to come out of that era. And now it's a young actor named Trevor Jackson. You may have seen him on American Crime Story. He's one of the stars of the TV show Grown-ish.
Yeah.
Along with Jason Miller, who was a standout and Straight out of Compton. And just a whole load of other actors that you will recognize their faces instantly. Same premise of the original movie. A successful coke dealer wants to pull off one last job before he gets out of drug dealing. The more he tries to get out, the more he gets pulled back in. It's directed by a music video director by the name of X. Maybe you know his partners Y and Z.
Yeah, they're
also
great.
But X gives this very, very modern style and feel. I just didn't feel like the movie had very much more to offer. It's almost a frame-by-frame comparison to the original movie, which I guess is great, but why not take this opportunity to take the movie off in a new direction also? I liked it. I didn't love it. I gave it a Dean's List C+.
Quick question, Dean. Does it take place modern day or does it go back to the 70s?
Day.
Oh, it does.
Yeah,
same story, just modern day.
All modern day. Same thing, modern day. Actually, there is one more movie that you might find interesting that's opening this weekend.
What's that?
It's the return of John Travolta in the movie that's called Gotti, in which he plays real-life crime boss John Gotti. It shows...
Don't touch the hair.
I'm combing my hair. She touches my hair.
He looks good as Gotti. I've just seen pictures of it, but
yeah, he physically makes it work. Okay, I think here's another one that I liked it. I didn't love it. I think had I never seen Sopranos, or had I never seen Goodfellas, or like really the amazing, the most amazing mob movies of all time, I would have liked this movie better, because Sopranos held nothing back. Some of the other mob movies held nothing back. This one is a little bit reserved. And I think with this kind of subject matter, they should have gone full blast with this. And I don't think they did. Travolta's fine. His real-life wife, Kelly Preston plays Vicky Gotti in the movie, his wife also in the movie. Characterizations are good. Travolta's New York accent made me think of his character from Saturday Night Fever, or Vinnie Barbarino from Welcome Back, Kotter. I gave it a C-.
And that's in theaters or on television?
It's in theaters. It will be in theaters starting tomorrow.
Oh, excellent. Well, Dean, thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend.
According to what Wendy says, I should not answer that question.
No, don't give away too much about the weekend.
I don't want to say whether
you.
I will
Stop
have
it.
A nice weekend or
That's
not.
Fine.
It's all I can commit to is that it will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's all I can
That's
tell you.
That's fair. Right? That's Dean Richards.
Love you.
Not giving in
you
too
too.
Much. Thanks, Dean. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.